You're listening to another episode of Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And I don't know what episode this is.
It's an ad hoc episode, John.
Talking through a Radio Shack mic because I forgot a cord.
TTN ad hoc. It's at my secret location, John. You got to remember that because I have Star Trek doors. I don't know if you remember that or not, but all my doors are fitted.
Right.
Star Trek doors.
This is a great mic, though, I must say, Scott. It sounds like it's hearing me, and then sometimes it doesn't.
It's the best mic you're going to get in 2 minutes' notice.
I just hit my fake teeth on it.
Right on.
Did you hear that? Those are my fake teeth.
So, John, we haven't put out a podcast in, what, 6 weeks?
6 years.
6 years? Let's see. At the end of June, right?
Yeah.
So we got July, August. I would say around 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Right? 6 weeks?
Yeah.
It's an ad hoc special, John and Scott. That's right. You're hearing it right now.
Right now, live in your face.
In your face.
6 weeks, man. What have you done with your Sundays?
What have I done?
Yeah.
I really don't know. I didn't keep a log. But since
well,
we've been gone.
You must have big plans, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely big plans, you know, with schoolwork, job, just taking the summer off, getting the daughter down to camp, getting the daughter back from camp, a lot of swimming. My son, he's 5 years old, he can dive off the diving board.
Nice.
And just yesterday, we went swimming, and he can surface dive to 6 feet deep now, where the day before he couldn't, because we play a game called Shark Tag, right? And when he's it, all I do is lie on the bottom of the pool, and he can't get me. Yesterday, he was like, fuck this, man. I'm getting the old man.
Why are you saying, fuck this?
That's what he said.
Fuck this?
When he was thinking to himself, he's like, fuck this. I'm getting the old man today.
You saw the thought balloon in the water. There it is.
So I'm down there lying on the bottom of the pool at 6 feet deep, and he did a surface dive, and he came right down and tagged me. And I'm like, dude, man.
Nice.
That is impressive.
Can I ask you a question? I'm looking at your monitor, your giant 40-inch monitor.
Yes.
And I noticed there's a picture of your daughter only.
That's my daughter.
Well, what about your son?
There's very few pictures where we get the daughter and the son together. Even when we do, the son is making a face or the daughter's making a face. You know, there's never...
Yeah.
There's a couple of good shots that we have, but...
I see. So there's no jealousy from the son?
Oh, not at all. No, he's not even aware of that.
There would be brawls.
Really?
Does he love me anymore, Dad?
Well, my daughter's away at camp. She's coming home tomorrow. She's been away for about 3 weeks in North Carolina. So I have the opportunity to write her an email every day, and if I get it in before 11 o'clock in the morning, they print it out and they give it to her. It saves me from, you know, snail mail. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I emailed her this morning and I called my son over. Hey, Brody, it's the last email we can send to Emma. Is there anything you want to say? And he said, yeah. Emma, I miss you and I'll see you tomorrow. That's it. So I included that, and I quoted Brody in the email that I sent.
Nice. Why don't you send like a vocal, an audio or video?
That's against regulations, John.
Regulations?
There's very, very specific regulations.
Where?
About on the camp website.
Oh, jeez.
They don't want you to include pictures.
What is it, a Christian camp?
It is not a Christian camp, but I believe they do promote, informally promote Christianity. Like, they don't advertise themselves as a Christian camp.
Yeah.
But when you show up, the guy says, he says all these religious things, which is all right. I don't care. I think she should have some exposure to Christianity.
Yeah, why not witchcraft, too?
Why not? I mean, these are all learning opportunities.
Scientology.
Well, except for science.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, she could be exposed to it as long as I have 30 minutes to tell her why it's a fucking joke. And did you hear Will Smith? You know, we reported on Will Smith starting a school a while ago. And now it's coming out that, and I don't know if this is bullshit or not, but he apparently fired the principal of the school. I think it was the principal. And he's hiring somebody directly out of the Scientology Institute to start instilling Scientology teaching techniques in this school. I'm like, come on,
I did not know that.
Come on, Will Smith. Really?
I did not know that.
Are you that in love with Tom Cruise that you move over to the dark side? Come on.
Right. I'm having a hard time with this mic, man.
I'm sorry, man. It's the best I can do. You could have driven home and then come back.
It was because I didn't have a cord.
Yeah, we forgot the cord. You brought your mic.
And here's the reason.
But we forgot the cool cord.
The reason is because I went outside to the garage to look for, because I have one of those cool springy mic stands, you know. What do you call it?
A boom mic. So you attach it to like a tabletop.
It's a boom mic stand, yeah. Attached to a tabletop. It's spring-loaded. The cord's integrated into the stand.
Integrated.
And the last time we did one of these shows, I left it in my car. And I must have taken it out at some point, and it wasn't in the garage where I put it. I'm assuming my son has been hitting golf balls with it or something.
Kids, man.
Yeah.
Kids.
So I grabbed one of these stands and didn't get a mic.
Well, you got your mic.
I got the mic. No cable.
Cable. Right on. So I had to run downstairs and grab a Radio Shack mic that I bought like 15 years ago.
You could tell it's a quality mic.
I can't tell the difference.
$4.
I think the majority of our listeners won't be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, they will.
You and me.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's like you doing Skype.
Oh, I hate Skype.
Yeah, well, it's like that for me with this microphone.
Well, the problem I have with Skype is it's not the intimate atmosphere that we have right now. I mean, even at your studio, we're not as intimate as we are right now, John.
Yeah, right.
I can reach out and touch you. Where when we do it at your house, you're in a separate room. I can't even see you.
Well, when we do the little studio room, if I ever get around to doing it, that will be the new podcasting room.
The podcasting temple.
Yeah.
Well, John, a lot of things happened while we were out. First and foremost, Rick turned fucking 50. Can you believe that shit?
Yeah.
So what happened is we had a gig. It was a Saturday night or a Friday night. I can't even remember.
For his birthday.
It was a Saturday at the Beacon.
It was Friday. You had to fly out
the
next
morning. It was a Friday?
Yeah.
We play this gig, and it was a lot of people were there, and then this group of Austrians was there.
Yeah.
And they really were enamored with you, my man.
Oh, yeah.
Did they think you were a celebrity or what? I've never seen so much attention paid to somebody by a group of 20 Austrians.
You are a good player. You are a good player.
During break, they would like almost run over
me
and Rick to get to John so they could take photos and videos.
Rick's screen, it's my birthday. What the fuck? Yeah, they got pictures of me.
Oh, we just had a gig. I got to tell the story. We just had a gig. And the crowd was pretty limited because there's a lot of Summerfest going on.
Seven.
Yeah, there wasn't very many people there. But, but two of the people that showed up, the guy during one of our breaks, we only took one break, the guy proposed to his wife.
Yeah.
Did she ever accept? Did she accept?
I don't know.
We don't know if she accepted, but they came back in and they made the announcement that he just proposed to his wife at the Beacon during break. So we, yes, his fiance. So I'm taking the angle, you're going to need a wedding band, right? What does Rick think of? Hey, well, you know, I proposed to my wife here, too.
Yeah.
So I said, I can't remember what I said to Rick. Oh, I think I said, you know, John, I think you're right. It is all about Rick.
Yeah.
And the look he gave me, if looks could fucking kill, man. He was like, fuck you. How dare you point out my narcissism in a public place.
Right, right.
You fucker.
Yeah, there are some chords that you can strum on Rick, and they will cause the slowly I turn Niagara Falls.
I've been in the band for 5 years, and that's my first experience. I mean, he's had other kind of breakdowns.
You were there the time. Well, you probably didn't hear it. You were over there with your bass, and we played at the trackside once, and he goes, oh, I see. The real John is back. Because I was giving him some shit about what he was playing. Oh, I see. The real John is back. Or the old John or some shit like that. And then later on, he like gave me a fist bump. Like, sorry, man. That's
nice,
cool.
Nice. Well, see, he's learning.
But years ago, it would have ended up in shoving after the gig. Yeah. Chest bumping. Let's go. Bring it on. Yeah. Well,
getting back to the 50th gig, that was a huge success. Yeah. And one of the things, again, John, and I think that's why Ron likes us to play there, is because if people walk in, they do not leave.
They never leave.
They don't leave. Because they're so goddamn entertained by the power trio that is a Kangaroo Court.
Yeah.
So we played, and now these Austrians, some of these pictures ended up on the web, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, the ones that Lynn took, Rick's wife.
You know, I bet you on some Austrian website, you are like an international star.
It's a Kangaroo Court.
And we can't even read the shit.
It's a giant drummer.
Why were they there? They were there for promoting something. Was it a movie or something?
No. I think they were... they sold liquor.
And, do you remember what brand?
I don't. I think it was a vodka or something. But they also... they were musicians.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, I just referred to them as party starters because they got everybody in the Beacon going. And it was a rocking good time. Rocking good time.
Rocking. Actually, if you go to Facebook... You can become a fan of a Kangaroo Court. You just got to look up a Kangaroo Court on Facebook, and it's listed as other business. And you can become a fan of a Kangaroo Court and get updates, see pictures.
Well, you know, John, if you ever reset my password for the forum, I can go ahead and post the link. Well, you never told me that. I don't know what the new password is. I can go and just put the link to our Facebook Kangaroo Court page, and you could see all the wonderful videos and photographs from our gigs. And we've really had a lot of gigs since we've been out.
Yeah.
And we got two more coming up.
Yeah. Pig roast this Saturday.
And then a block party, another private party.
A white trash... block party, right?
Yeah.
Is that my computer doing that?
I don't know.
There they are. There's the Austrians in that picture taking pictures of me with the two ladies.
Yeah, the Austrians ran Rick and me over to get to you. It was unbelievable.
Kissing me on the kiss. And I'm like, my wife's right there, man. Kiss. And pointing to their cheek. And, you know, I was a little embarrassed when they pulled their pants down and I had to kiss their cheeks, but
yeah, that's brutal. But unfortunately, none of those photos made it to the web.
Right.
Right.
The interwebs.
Right. So Rick turns 50. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So then I got to jump on a plane the next morning at like 6 a.m. or something to head out to Oregon.
Damn.
Which I spend 2 weeks with my family, my extended family. Well, not really. My brother-in-law and his wife and my in-laws also showed up. We were out at Pacific City it was really a great time. I just love the coast of Oregon. I got to tell you, John, I just love it. Go to the beach, you just relax. Yeah. The weather's never hot. It's just fucking awesome. And we actually looked at a couple of new developments out there right on the beach, and we're thinking, why don't we just chuck this corporate fuck rat race and just do something out there? You know, I'd be a garbage man or something.
Yeah.
We live on the coast.
Yeah, you'll love that. as much bitching as you do about stuff.
Well, I got to tell you, I've really become disillusioned with the whole corporate thing.
It's a game.
It is a game. And so, but that's the good news. It's a game. So, okay, so should I play the game? Which means you sell out your integrity to play this fucking game. But I'm so tired of seeing people, less than mediocre people, because of who they know or whatever, being promoted to positions that is beyond fucking belief. And it really is, you know, you'd think in these hard economic times that the lard would be cut. What is the term I'm thinking of here, John? The chaff, the cud would be spit out. I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but you'd think there would be like a slimming down of corporate America, and the dead weight would find themselves unemployed. But that's not how it works. That's not how it works.
Yeah,
the best and brightest are not retained.
What are you doing?
I'm just touching stuff.
Why? Like, I don't want that on.
I
want
to see. Oh, you don't want it on? I'll turn
it
on.
It's too bright. What are you doing?
It's an alternative light source, John.
For what? You need it?
So getting back to the corporate BS.
Bureaucracy.
Yeah. So we're trying to figure out different sources of income.
Yeah.
That would provide us the ability to live on a beach.
Yeah.
Because I fucking love the Oregon coast, man.
Do you suck dicks?
I love it.
Yeah.
You know, when we showed up, it was too cold. The water was too cold to go swimming. And then 2 days later, it was like the Caribbean, John. Or do you say Caribbean?
Yeah, whatever. What do you mean it was like the Caribbean?
It was warm enough to swim in.
How could it be?
I don't know. But my daughter was like, you can't go swimming. There's sharks. You can't go swimming. Come on, just let me go in up to my waist. Sharks don't come in.
There's no sharks on the Oregon coast.
I had to like sneak out. No, there are.
It's the Pacific Ocean.
No, really? There are sharks because there's seals and...
Oh, right. Okay.
All sorts of shit on the coast swimming around. So when I did want to go swimming, I had to sneak out, where she didn't even know because she would have such a meltdown.
I had to sneak.
If I went swimming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, so then now I went to the Oregon coast, and then you went to AZ, John. AZ.
Yeah.
With the whole family.
Yeah.
But again, you had the same thing that I did where we had a gig, and then you had to get on a plane the next day, didn't you?
Yeah.
To go to AZ?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's cake, man. It's the easy difference. When you don't have the family. You just grab your shit and go.
Right, but the other major difference is we flew into Seattle, and then I had a five-hour drive. So we wake up, we have a four-hour flight.
Well,
and then
who came
I
up with that idea?
Well, we couldn't get nonstop to Portland.
Anus.
The only nonstop where we could get to Seattle.
Why don't you take a train then from Seattle?
We never thought of that. That's a good idea.
Jesus.
So we rented a car, and you know, we were going to rent a car anyway. And it was a five-hour drive, and I made it. I thought I was going to fall asleep at the wheel and have to pull over and tell the lovely wife, hey, you got to drive.
Gotta
I can't make it.
I can't make it.
But I made it. It was great.
Nice.
Yeah. And, I just sleep like a fucking baby out in the Oregon coast there, John. And I had these vivid dreams that I remember.
Like what?
I can't remember them now.
Oh.
I
mean,
short-term memory, but just real.
Did you jerk off during the dream?
No. I might have. I don't know. I'd have to ask my wife.
I slapped myself. I'm torturing myself right now.
Okay.
It was great. Loved it. I loved it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, Arizona. Very hot.
Very hot, yes.
Jump in the pool, just as hot.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that blows.
Yeah, the pool's like 93 degrees.
That's not a pool. I'm That's like
kidding.
A sauna.
I'm not
Come
kidding.
Come on.
Not a sauna, maybe a hot tub.
Yes, right you are, John. Not a sauna.
So we played the Beacon. You flew out. We played Big Rich's birthday party.
Big Rich's birthday party, yeah, yeah.
And we played...
Cop showed up.
Yeah, cop showed up.
But Big Rich said, hey, what's going on? What's the deal? Hey, just tell these guys to take a break, start up again, because we're doing a shift change.
Yeah.
And by the time the new shift comes on, you're going to have another hour, hour and a half to have fun.
So, yeah, we rocked out.
That's community service right there.
Oh, no doubt.
That's serving the people.
Nobody got tased.
And protecting. That's right.
That's right.
Right on.
And then we played, I don't know what we played.
We had a lot of gigs, man. They all run together for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beacon again.
Yeah. Beacon again. Yeah. Yeah.
Do we play any other parties?
I think we did. I think we played
we got
somewhere.
A pig roast.
Oh, the Meat Fest.
Saturday.
We played the Meat,
Meat
Fest.
Fest. I got to put that video. I got like a 10-second video of you and Rick playing with that 10-year-old kid.
Oh, I have that too, but it's such, the quality is so shitty. But the 10-year-old kid, his name is Nolan.
Yeah.
He fucking rocks, man. The guy can play drums. So this kid comes up. We play Green Day.
Yeah.
So we play a Green Day song on drums. You remember what that song was? Was it...
Warning.
Warning.
Yeah.
And then he moves to guitar. And the kid can play guitar
Basket
and
case.
Sing.
Yeah.
And he's really freaking good.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like 10 years old. I mean, talent show, V show.
And he's like in your face, man. He's like, hey, hey, come on. Can you play this? Can you play that? Hey, slow down, man. Yeah, I'll try.
He's very confident.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's going to be, remember that name,
Nolan.
And
he's the nicest kid, too, man.
He's really polite.
He used to be really obnoxious, and now he's very polite and wants to. He kept asking me, can I play your drums? I go, these aren't my drums, man. I wouldn't play these pieces of shit. I said to Joey, because Rick plays in another band called The Blind Hitmen, and we had a double bill with them. And Joey, or Tony is the drummer, and Joey is his dad. And he's like, man, I should have mic'd the snare. And they're playing outside. I said, nah. I go, your dad needs to play that snare harder. He's like, no, you can't hit that snare hard. It's from the 1920s. I'm thinking, then you need to throw that piece of shit out and buy another one, man.
That's right. It's the 21st century here.
You don't play
a
vintage snare.
People.
You hang it on a shelf or frame it, polish it up, and
you
play
know, this,
a good one.
Nolan kid, he's been around Kangaroo Court for as long as I can remember. He's been out at the track.
Yeah,
and Emma, my daughter, I've said, hey, you know, you should really get to know this kid, right? And she's always blown me off. The last time we played at the track, I said, hey, Nolan's here. You might want to go over and say hi. She's like, oh, yeah, whatever, Dad. And so we're on break, and Nolan comes over and introduces himself to my daughter.
Hi, I'm Nolan.
And ever since then, my daughter's like, oh, you know, I don't want to go to camp because I'm going to miss Meat Fest, and Nolan's going to be at Meat Fest.
Oh, see?
Oh, yeah. So, so I think this kid's going to be, if he sticks to music, I mean, the sky's the limit. This kid is really talented.
Yeah.
But again, music, to be successful, you have to be able to write your own shit. So will he be able to write? Anybody can write music, but it's the vocal melody.
He was telling me when we played the track that he had a band and they had a YouTube video and they wrote their own tune.
Oh, we should find that.
I
and
just
post
can't
that.
Remember the name of the band.
We'll find that out. He'll be at the pig roast, won't he?
No,
he won't.
I don't think so.
I thought Rick mentioned that he might be there.
I don't know, maybe. I don't know if he knows Mr. Ryan.
Mr. Ryan.
Mr. Ryan. Speaking of, what's his name? What is his name? Sean Connery.
Sean Connery. Really? He's been in the news? Sean Connery?
No. My son and I were watching a movie that he was in. The Rock.
Oh, The Rock. Yeah, with the...
Welcome to The Rock.
Is Nicolas Cage in there?
Yeah.
Nicolas.
Yeah. Listen, Mr. Goodspeed. Goodspeed was his name. It's not that bad of a movie. Sam Harris is in it, and
yeah, it was all right.
It's basically the military going, this one general freaking out because a bunch of military guys who came back from Iraq and Nam and stuff didn't get the proper health care and lost their homes and stuff like that, and the government just kind of blew them off. And so they decide they're going to launch some missiles at San Francisco with some...
From Alcatraz,
yeah, from
right?
Alcatraz with some kind of nerve gas, and they ask for a bunch of money. So they want like $1 million apiece for these soldiers, these mercs, a couple million for these soldiers that have been hurt. And
hurt.
And it just it breaks down, man. And so Nicolas Cage is this doctor of professor or something. He works for the FBI. He's a scientist and he works with germs. And he gets recruited to help Sean Connery, who is this ex-British spy.
But he's a prisoner, right?
Yeah, he's a prisoner who escaped Alcatraz. And he's
so
the only one.
He knows the ins
yeah.
and outs, man. You watched that with your son? You
yeah.
It was, how'd he like it?
Well, it was on TV, so it was didn't have any swearing.
You don't have the DVD?
No, it's rated R.
So you don't have rated R DVDs?
Yeah, I'm just not going to let my son watch rated R DVDs.
But 10. You will on TV because they'll edit it out. The shit.
Yeah.
I see. Very good.
Oh, yeah. He loved it because he loves action. Dad, I love action movies.
Well, I got a question for you. You mentioned the Iraq. So that's an old movie. Is that based on the Gulf War or the W's
yeah,
War?
Yeah, Desert Storm.
Oh, it's based on Desert Storm. Okay.
Yeah. Not based on it. It's just mentioned.
Mentioned. It's not the W's War.
It's the Dad
war.
W's War.
Right. Okay.
Daddy W.
Yeah, because that's an old movie with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. It's good speed.
Before I get the movie,
and his name is Sean Connery as John Mason.
John Mason. Who's a strange daughter. Shows up in a movie.
Yes.
What was that?
I don't know. Oh, your wife's home.
Before we get into other movie news, the hugest news while we were out.
Huge
a lot
news.
Of stuff happened, John. But the biggest news is MJ croaked, John.
Yeah.
MJ. If you go to the John and Scott...
Whoa, we're really current.
If you go to the John and Scott blog, there's some fallout from MJ...
Blog.
Yeah. Keeling over.
Yeah.
We got a great comment from somebody. He's very angry. Very angry.
You say we, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
It says John and Scott's blog,
yes,
but there's
course.
Not anything from John.
Well, I don't know when you're going to get on it.
I'm
too
intimidated, man.
You.
Of confidence. Look at you, man.
What?
You just, I don't know how you cannot stop writing. You just keep going and going. You're like the ever ready bunny or whatever it is.
I'm stopping. I'll stop.
The Energizer bunny.
You don't have to write to post. All you have to do is post a video and just give your opinion on it. You don't have... I'm very long-winded, okay,
yeah, that's
John?
That's for sure.
And I
I am very impressed by this your posts.
And the reason I got to tell you,
I read Amber's blog. Uh-huh. I was very impressed and
impressed
and blushed,
with Amber's blog.
Blushed a little bit on some of the stuff I read. We'll have to get to her. She's very eager to be on the show.
She showed up to one of our gigs.
Yes.
Amber.
Yeah, it's the 50th birthday gig. With the Austrians.
You
got
to send me the link to Amber's blog, and I'll include it on our blog, John.
She has a very similar blog to yours.
Really? With the layout. Black background?
Yeah.
And the orange text?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the reason I do it is because, you know, I don't know if you know this, John, but I am trying to achieve a bachelor's degree at DePaul University.
In blogging.
Through an adult program. Now, one of the things that I can do is just write a bunch of papers to get credit. So this is letting me write about different ideas that I may just be able to turn around and cut and paste into a document and submit for credit. So that's
right.
Why I'm into it.
That's
that
your
way.
Angle.
And that's where that's where you get all the extra verbiage. But don't let that intimidate you there, John. You find a video that you think is funny, post it, and as long as it has to do with science, stupidity, or atheism,
yeah,
and just put a little comment there. Right on. Right on, John. So if you want to see that John and Scott's blog, you go to TotalTalkNonsense.com/WP. That's for WordPress, WP. I don't have a link on the homepage yet, but I'll get around to that eventually. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, sorry. Here's his gray.
Oh, the other big news is
here's hers right there.
I swapped out the A Kangaroo Court. Yes, I see it. I swapped out the A Kangaroo Court website with a WordPress framework, John.
Yeah.
I haven't had time to get back and do stuff, but I will give you the admin password, and then we can both update. Even Rick, maybe we can get Rick involved.
Yeah.
Updating stuff. The next thing I want to do with the A Kangaroo Court website is install a photo gallery plugin. And then we can include those as well. Yeah. Yes, John. That's John.
One of my favorite stories on Amber's blog is her trip to the ER. It's very good. It's long.
Oh, you know one thing we found out about Amber that I really didn't need to know?
Don't. You can't say it.
I can't?
No.
Okay. I won't say it then. But Amber, I really didn't need to know that.
I know. Very disappointed.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's all we'll say about
that. We can ask her about it. She can...
write a comment.
She can tell us.
Comment on her blog, and maybe she'll spill the beans there. What is her website, John?
Her blog? It's www.bizzy.blogspot.com.
There you go.
Busy Biz. Some funny stuff on there. She's very funny. She's very funny. And she is... she's outgoing, sort of, like to us, but then she seems very quiet. You know, she kind of like kept to herself at the gig.
Well, that's because she knows us, man. Yeah. We're like...
yeah, that's true.
She listens to us all the time.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
So you develop this intimacy.
Yeah.
I listen to Howard Stern all the time, and if I ever ran into him...
Dude,
I could carry on like a 4-hour conversation.
La, 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 la.
Would he have a 4-hour conversation with me? Probably not.
Yeah, be like, get out of here,
yeah,
you freak.
Who the F is this MF-er? But, you know, Richard Dawkins and I, we connected. And Penn shut me down because he was envious. Because within 2 minutes, I was connecting.
Ted Gillette is like on Glenn Beck's show all the time.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
You know, I heard that a bunch of advertisers were pulling their shit from Glenn Beck. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with that.
Why?
I mean, he made some comments about the president that were just dumb, right?
Yeah, but they were just dumb.
Yeah, but it's a slippery slope, you know, because let's say the next president gets in there and somebody has a legitimate criticism... And then advertisers say, oh, we're pulling because we got all this feedback from the Christian right that says they're not going to buy our products anymore for a legitimate criticism of the president. So,
well, that's their prerogative. I mean, it's their
that
money.
That is their prerogative.
It's their money. I mean, you run your business off of advertising, and that's... And people were like really turned off. There was it wasn't like the Christian right, the family values people who had 1,000 people that went and lobbied Michael Powell. And then he levied these FCC fines on, like, Fox for Janet Jackson's breast.
Which is so goddamn ridiculous.
This is like a petition of 750,000 people, which is like half of or all of who tune in to watch Glenn Beck that wrote to Fox and said, or wrote to these advertisers and said, hey, have you been listening to what this guy's saying? We're not going to watch his show anymore. This guy's an asshole.
I guess I don't agree with that. So what you're saying is these are viewers of Glenn Beck that were...
Who knows?
I don't think so. I think it made it onto the interwebs. Other people found out of it that don't know anything about... Well, maybe know a little bit about Glenn Beck, but do not watch his show.
Yeah.
And they're like, what the fuck, man? I mean, the guy is insane. He almost had a breakdown on one of his shows. I find that entertaining. You know, so if he wants to spout his shit, give him a platform.
Listen to what he says.
This right. president, I think, has exposed himself as a guy over and over and over again who has a deep-seated hatred for white people or the white culture. I don't know what it is.
You can't say he doesn't like white people. David Axelrod's white. Rahm Emanuel's his chief of staff.
His mother.
I think 70% of the people that we see every day are white. Robert Gibbs is white.
I'm not saying that he doesn't like white people.
He just said that.
He has a problem. He has a... This guy is, I believe, a racist.
He's a racist,
yeah.
But I'm not saying he doesn't like white people.
I'm saying he has a deep-seated hatred.
See, I for find
white
Glenn
people.
Beck completely enter-fucking-taining.
Yeah.
He's so goddamn dumb.
Yeah, but dude, you're totally missing the whole thing.
I guess
okay.
I am.
Timothy McVeigh. I'll give you an example. What about Timothy McVeigh? This guy's a complete lunatic, right?
Right, right.
And he's totally responsible for what he did. It was his own actions that...
Right.
Caused the
Oklahoma City bomb.
Yeah.
Yes.
But on his, when they searched his home, they found a thing called the Turner Diaries. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
It's a novel written in 1978 by a guy named William Luther Pierce. He was a former leader of the white nationalist organization National Alliance.
I'm going to have to stop you right there. I don't even agree with that argument. Now you're going to blame some guy who wrote a book.
No, I'm not blame
for Timothy McVeigh's actions.
No, I'm not going to. But what I'm saying is, here's people that will go crazy with this rhetoric. You're not mad as I am. You need to be madder. I don't have the guts to pick up a gun and shoot somebody, but you go ahead and do it. Because you should be madder than me. This is my America. That's the same shit that you hear from popes. You hear from Hitler. You hear from Stalin. You hear from all these powerful leaders. People who have a platform that can reach the masses.
Is Glenn Beck a powerful leader?
No.
But there is a story. Bill O'Reilly called a guy a baby killer or whatever the fuck he called him. He called him a murderer. And this guy ended up shot.
Yeah.
See, Bill O'Reilly, he's despicable, but I cannot find him complacent. Would that
you
be the
cannot,
word?
You cannot. But here's the thing. There are
this other guy
listen,
pulled the trigger.
Listen. Look.
Yes.
This other guy pulled the trigger. And here's the thing. Your kids, my kids, yourself, for instance, this Turner Diaries thing, the violent crimes that basically what happened in this book is that, well, here, I'll read a little synopsis. The Turner Diaries depicts a violent revolution in the United States, which leads to the overthrow of the United States federal government, nuclear war, and ultimately to extermination of all Jews and non-whites, leaving an all-white world population of 50 million. The book was called explicitly racist and anti-Semitic by the New York Times and has been labeled the Bible of the Racist Right by the FBI. Now, in the book, they're taking over America because the Jews are screwing it up and the blacks and all that. And they even kill white sympathizers. So if you're a sympathizer, your kid is
you're
dubbed
weak.
A sympathizer, you're weak.
Right. And Darwinism.
Timothy McVeigh.
That's what Darwin was. It's all Darwin's fault. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. And Timothy McVeigh, the novel has been associated with a number of real-life violent crimes. Most notably, some have suggested that a scene depicting preparation for the bombing of the FBI national headquarters served as the inspiration for the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995 by Timothy McVeigh, who had promoted the book. So all I'm saying, you're absolutely right. If you take the logical approach, you can take the, what is it called, the axiom, and say, yeah, and it's a slippery slope. Somebody says something, somebody else acts upon that, and it's the person who actually did the act is the one that's responsible, not for the person who says it. But yet, you have to come to some consideration of things like saying, yelling fire in a crowded theater, or yelling, I have a bomb on a plane. That's freedom of speech, but that's insane.
Agreed. But getting back to that argument, I don't know what the fuck I was going to say.
I mean, you're rational, I'm rational, there's reasonable people.
And there are, well, here's what I was going to say.
And then there's the lemmings.
Here's what I was going to say. I'm saying that a person like Timothy McVeigh searches for stuff, literature, media, that supports his ideology.
Right?
Because there's no thought going on there. He has a belief system, and his belief system is right. You know, I just ran across a quote by Bertrand Russell, and I think it really summarizes our entire show and my philosophy in general. Are you ready for this, John? Bertrand Russell. Genius, John. Genius. The trouble with the world is that the stupid are cocksure and the intelligent are full of doubt, right? So that Timothy McVeigh is so goddamn sure he's right.
Yeah.
You know, and I've blogged about this. I don't know if you know that, John.
Here we go, man.
I've blogged about choice and that we really have no choice. And I always thought that so our brains either develop a critical thinking path or a non-critical thinking path. But I'm starting to have doubts even about that. A guy like Timothy McVeigh is so goddamn sure that he's right, that he's willing to blow up something or do something to show everybody else how right he is. It's a form of delusion. And you and I, John, I mean, we're very confident, but we do have doubts. I mean, we have, there's things that we're not sure about. And I think that, you know, I used to break it up into critical thinking and everybody else. And now I think it's really about the confidence in your own ideas or anybody's ideas to know that it's explicitly, immutably right. And anybody who thinks that way, to me, is delusional. So if you go back to the blog, the John and Scott Scale of Religion, I don't know if you caught that or not. But you got 0 through 6. And when you get to level 4 is the people that are absolutely convinced that a God exists. And then you can move up to level 6. But when you start at level 4 and these people are so goddamn sure that God exists, that's when you start getting into trouble. That's when you start entering into a delusional state, right? Yeah. And Bertrand Russell was fucking right on. And this guy lived 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And he nailed it, man. Not only on this, but other things.
No, I agree with that. My question is, the dilemma is, what do you do about people? What do you do with people like that?
That is an excellent question.
That's the thing I'm struggling with every minute.
What is the solution to that problem?
When I hear that shit, I'm like... When I hear a Glenn Beck that you're not, you should hear his latest thing where he's crying about his handicapped daughter, and then he's holding up these pictures of posters from Nazi Germany depicting, you know, they used to euthanize people that were
handicapped, homosexual.
It'll cost 60, and he's equating that to the healthcare thing that's going on right now, the debate that's going on about a public option for healthcare. He's equating it to Nazi Germany and euthanizing. Basically, he's holding up a poster of a guy.
Well, the thing is, you and I and our listeners, we watch that, and it's entertaining to us. But what we don't, well, I'm starting to realize, is that people watch that and they buy it. They buy that shit. Hook, line, and sinker, because they're not critical thinkers. They're people that are so sure that their own opinions are right, they don't challenge even their own ideas. So they're not going to challenge Glenn Beck. They're just going to accept it as fact. And that is a problem. But is it Glenn Beck's problem, or is it Glenn Beck's? Or is it the people listening?
Well, this is what this is why I think it was very powerful that a bunch of people wrote the advertisers of the show and said, look, here's how we're going to do it. He can say whatever the hell he wants, but here's what's going to happen. We are not going to buy your products. Okay? If you're going to continue to advertise and make this show money, we are not going to buy your products, because we think what he says is so disgusting and despicable, we refuse to buy your products, which I think is a great way, one of the great ways of sending a message. Don't have the government shut the guy down. Stop buying the products. Send a message to the people that are giving him money and see what happens.
Well, you've always said that.
There's like five companies that refuse to advertise on his show now.
You've always said that. You said you've always said let capitalism take care of it.
It doesn't always work.
Because
I don't totally agree with capitalism. I think the whole free market thing is pretty much a myth. I mean, there's a balance. There's definitely a balance, because if we were to go, in my opinion, and many economists' opinion, if we went laissez-faire capitalism, which a lot of right-wingers and libertarians especially think we should go the Austrian school of economics, which is a pseudoscience, it would lead to an unbalanced society. You'd have very, very rich people and very, very poor people. You would have no middle class. There would be no equilibrium. And all that philosophy is not backed up by any science.
Well, in this case,
Glenn
Beck's case.
Well, right, because when you're talking about
but here's my
exchange
fear.
of money for services or money for materials, supply and demand of real tangible things as opposed to credit and shit like that. That's where I think it gets muddy and it doesn't work. When it comes to actual things, iPods, whatever it is, I think it works. In this case, yeah, it works.
Here's my fear, though. It seems that the majority, or the people that control the advertising dollars, have brains in them. They can think critically. They can observe a Glenn Beck, and they can come to the conclusion that the guy's batshit fucking insane, and they can pull their advertising dollars. What happens, though? Let's say it's 100 years from now, when the Christian right makes an impact, and now getting back into like a theology where, sure, we still have capitalism, we still have corporate America, but the majority of people are offended if God's not on money and if whatever, and they pull advertising dollars because the president said, you know what, I think we should not have the national anthem. Well, not the national anthem. What do they say in school in the morning? The Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
I think we should discount the Pledge of Allegiance in schools. There's no place for it in schools. What happens then? Or if somebody says that, if somebody holds to the Constitution, like let's say a Keith Olbermann, 100 years from now, if it's the majority is the Christian right that are spending money and advertising dollars, then they have this kind of power to pull money and corporate money from that message, and that message never gets out.
What message?
That I don't think we should do the Pledge of Allegiance in school.
I don't think we should anyway.
I don't think we should.
I
but
think it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but that's
why
because,
would you pledge allegiance? Pledge of allegiance
right,
to anything?
It's like a cult almost.
Yeah, it's nationalism, and kids don't know what they're pledging allegiance to. It's just beat into them.
That was a bad example. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sort of. I think you're talking more about government's intervention.
Not governments. I'm talking about the private sector now. If the majority of people were dumb, right? Dim-witted.
Yeah.
And if a message came out that was the truth, that was reality, but because it didn't go along with their ideology, the majority would then rule based on advertising dollars and corporate sponsorship, and they would be able to get... Today it's Glenn Beck. Tomorrow is it Keith Olbermann or whoever, you know?
Yeah, but
being
so
able
what?
To silence people.
A company has a right to pull their advertising or advertise. I mean, think about it.
Understood.
They're advertising on Glenn Beck because there's a lot of people listening to his kooky ass shit. They're tuning in. They're watching it. And if people didn't complain to them about it, he could stab a baby right on the show. And if it got good ratings, they might never pull the advertising. But it's when people start saying, hey, we're not going to buy your stuff anymore, which is the right way to go. If you're an independent person, you have your own mind, you can make that choice and say, look,
I completely agree with that.
Not going to buy your stuff. And I'm going to tell you why, because you advertise on that show.
As long as the majority of the population is critical thinkers. If they're not, then we're totally fucked. Totally fucked.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
Revolution, my friend.
Well, you would hope that the smart ones would be able to handle the logistics and the weapons and all that stuff. Yeah, the few would be able to conquer the majority that were stupid.
This is what the stupid ones think, that they're starting a revolution. That's what scares me, because they don't believe in free thought. They believe in do it this way. Unbelievable. Like, I'll give you an example. Jon Stewart he's just been dubbed as like the number one news, trusted man in news. He beat out like MSNBC and CNN, and I don't think Fox was even on there. And he's very funny. I think he's very funny. His show is it cracks me up. But he was making light of this situation, which in a way, you know, like you said, this kind of makes me sad. And he had this guy on, a black guy, just as a correspondent. And you can barely hear what this woman says in the background. But listen to this bit.
But here to discuss the powerful nexus between healthcare and racial politics, senior black correspondent Larry Wilmore. Larry, thank you very much.
Why does he have to be black, man?
You've heard a lot about the healthcare debate. We've heard that it's socialism, euthanasia, all those things. Suddenly, this new specter is race. Is healthcare a racial issue?
Of course it is, John.
But I thought that Barack Obama was post-racial.
Yeah, he is. We're not. Okay. Healthcare is a racial issue right now, like all issues are racial issues. Look, the first thing you have to understand is this is about white fear.
This is not the America we know.
He is literally ripping apart the foundation of the America that we knew and grew up in.
This is not the America I grew up in or you grew up in. When we said change, we didn't mean this.
I have never seen my America turn into what it has turned into.
She wants her America back? Go tell that to the Indians.
You know, they're making fun of it, but this woman was crying, saying, this is not my America. I want my America back. What America are you talking about? The one you're talking about, Scott, where this fringe group of flipped out wackos wants Jesus on everything?
Yeah. I really don't know.
And you know, he's making fun of it. He thinks it's funny and everything, and I think it's kind of funny too. But at the same time, it's a little scary.
Well, who knows where they found that woman? And did the people at Fox get the talking memo of to say this is not the America that I grew up in? Because they all said the same thing. This is the message we want to get out. Send the memo to Hannity. Send it to Beck. And then spout this information.
Yeah.
Well, the no one doubt, thing that man. Bothers me about the healthcare is the stuff that I've seen, and I haven't really investigated a lot of it, but there's no debate going on. It's just people yelling and hollering.
Right.
Based on what a Hannity says or a Glenn Beck
says. No, they actually have companies that are being funded by the insurance companies, companies where guys are... The CEO of a health insurance company is making $11 million a year. And they're funding these, what do you call them? They're like, not think tanks, but they're...
Like Marty.
Yeah.
I'll pay you to go in and be a presence for me.
Right. They pay these groups, and they go out, and they find middle-aged Americans who... And they tune them up, and they give them the talking points, and they give them signs, and they give them tips on what to do and where to go and when this is going to happen. And every time somebody says something, jump up and just shout, "No, you're lying to us. Fuck you." And disrupt the whole process. Don't even allow them to say anything. But because this is what's going to happen. There's death panels. They're going to deny you care. And this whole thing is
the
about...
The insurance industry denies care.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. But the whole thing is about a public option, some sort of option. And one of the senators was very clever. He asked everybody, "Can you raise your hand? How many of you have Social Security?" And they raised their hand. "How many would you be unhappy? How about if we removed Social Security?" And nobody raised their hand. Like, yeah, that would be a great idea. They're okay with that social program.
Social. They're being okay the key
with
word there,
yeah.
John.
They're okay with the VA, the Social Veterans Affairs for that social program. They're okay with the social program like Medicare.
Or our tollways.
Yeah.
Or highways.
Or cops.
Expressways. Cops. I mean, firemen.
You know, libertarians
paramedics.
Would like the cops to be privatized or the firemen to be privatized. So I guess when they come to your house and it's burning down, did you pay your bill? No. Well, if you run your credit card through really quick, we'll put your fire out. It's the commons.
When
you
ran out of your house, did you manage to grab your wallet so you have a credit card available?
Yeah.
We're going to need that.
Because we just checked the list and you haven't made your payment.
Right. I'm sorry. We showed up. We're going to bill you for that, but we're not going to turn the water on.
So I don't know if you read this thing about Stephen Hawking.
Oh, yeah. I've just the headline. I haven't read the detail. Stephen Hawking, a guest on our show.
Yeah.
We look forward to him
many
coming
a time.
Back.
In the in an editorial on July 31st of Investors Business Daily. It's a very prestigious
John.
Magazine. Investors Business Daily warned of end-of-life counseling and healthcare reform by saying people like Stephen Hawking wouldn't have a chance in such a system. Now, the end-of-life counseling is basically an opt-in program. You can choose to be in this thing. And what it is basically you're incapacitated. You're a vegetable. You're drooling on yourself. You're crapping your pants. You're being fed through with a tube. And this end-of-life counseling is to bring your family members together so that you can discuss what kind of care what you're going to have for this person for the rest of their life. Whatever life they have. It's not to say, hey, yeah, this is a death panel, pull the plug. And it says here, it warned the counseling, blah, 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 but this is what the Investors Business Daily had to say about Stephen Hawking. People such as scientist Stephen Hawking wouldn't have a chance in the UK, where the National Healthcare Service would say the life of this man because of his physical handicaps is essentially worthless. Did you hear what I said, Scott?
Yes.
He wouldn't even have a chance in the UK using the NHS, the national healthcare system there. Well, in fact, Professor Hawking lives in England, where he's been treated by their National Health Service, and by his own account, it saved his life. Stephen Hawking said, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be here today if it was not for the NHS, he told The Guardian. I have received a large amount of high-quality treatment without which I would not have survived. Now, just to add, the IBD, Investors Business Daily, has since removed the Hawking reference and added, this version corrects the original editorial, which implied that physicist Stephen Hawking, a professor at the University of Cambridge, did not live in the UK. That's all they said. They don't acknowledge that he said it saved his life. They just want to say, yeah, we screwed up, and he does live in the UK.
Yeah, and what's wrong with death panels, really? I mean, if 100 years ago, people, when they were going to die, they went home with their families, and they died with their families.
Yeah.
Now they want to keep you in the fucking hospital, and yeah, they want to pull every goddamn nickel out of you.
Yeah, exactly.
And keep you alive in whatever fucking state that is. Just go home. Die with your family and be done with it. Death panels. Well, that's Sarah Palin.
Colbert.
Genius of Sarah Palin gave us that.
Yeah, right. Have you ever seen Colbert?
Colbert,
yes. The Colbert Report. He did a little bit, and then he played a clip from Stephanopoulos, and he was talking to Newt Gingrich. Because
there's one of our geniuses.
Yeah, they
Newt.
Talked about the death panels, and then some other term that's being thrown around now. There's another buzz term, because death panels is too brutal, so they came up with another buzz term, and Stephanopoulos calls Gingrich on it, and Gingrich is like, well, the bill is like 1,000 pages. It's too hard to read. Colbert makes fun of it. It's pretty funny. Here it is.
Now, death panels, the phrase, does not appear in the healthcare bill. They're cleverly referred to as communal standards, which also doesn't appear anywhere in the healthcare bill. The Democrats are that sneaky. Jim?
Let me just explain what's in the bill and then get you to respond to that. The only thing in the bill is that it would allow Medicare to pay for what they say is voluntary counseling on end-of-life issues.
Communal standards, historically, is a very dangerous concept.
But it's not in the bill.
But the bill's a 1,000 pages.
It's 1,000 pages! There's no way of knowing what's in it! For instance, I believe the bill says anytime a surgeon inadvertently leaves a medical instrument inside you, you're reclassified as a supply cabinet. 1,000 pages, that's almost as long as a Harry Potter novel.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the strategy.
The rhetoric.
Push out falsehoods, and you got to spend so much time
muddling through the shit,
trying to correct that your message gets lost,
yeah,
because you're just trying to defend insanity. Not defend it, but refute it.
Yeah. It's brutal.
Yeah, yeah.
Catapult the propaganda, Scott.
That's right, John. That's right. One other thing happened while we were out. I don't know if you've read this, but it put a grin on my face. I'll tell you that right now, John.
I'll tell you that.
Oh, I didn't even talk about the movies I've seen. Let me get to this story
first.
We
only got an hour tonight, man.
Ben Stein. I don't know if you know that. He was fired.
Shot? Oh, yeah, fired. Yeah, I heard about that.
New York Times. According to Stein, though, according to Ben Stein, he was the guy who put together intelligence allowed, whatever the fuck that shithole was. It's available online.
How much of that wine have you drinking, man?
Can you see?
Jesus Christ.
I'm done.
you sure are. Is it? There's
Ben Stein's greatest moment was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Bueller.
One of the most quotable lines.
And since then, it's been downhill for him. I don't know if I sent you this link, but there's a great debate with Christopher Hitchens and some other dude, and Ben Stein is one of the moderators, and he's such a condescending fuck.
Yeah.
The debate is like an hour long. You get about two minutes of Ben Stein, but he's such a fucking douche. And this, the whole debate was set up to promote his dumbass movie.
Yeah.
So, according to Ben Stein, he got fired not because of anything that he would do intellectually or trying to inform the people. He got fired because of Obama.
Oh, Jesus.
And because of the backlash from this. So, he, John, is a martyr, according to him.
Yeah.
For the creationism bullshit. What a fucking joke. Here's the real deal, right? He's a New York Times editorial or article writer specifically about finances, but he does commercials for a finance, who knows what the fuck they do.
It's a breach of his contract.
Right. How could you be ethical if you sell your services to a finance company? How can you then turn around and if they fuck up, write an editorial or whatever the fuck you write.
Getting really loud all of a sudden. Yeah, you know, you're really quiet before.
That says, hey, you should don't fuck with these people. They're fucked. Oh, by the way, these people are paying me money, so I'm not going to say anything bad about them. But to him, he doesn't get that concept. He doesn't get it. To him, he's being persecuted.
He's a Timothy McVeigh.
Right, because he's going after Darwin, which is totally bogus.
Yeah.
And can we put this to rest for the all time? This creationism, this nut job, ID, intelligent design, whatever the fuck you want to call it. I got an analogy, John. I just thought of this today when I was watching.
Did you say analogy again?
Analogy. When I was watching Law and Order today, I was thinking, let's compare evolution with law, right? All right, evolution, you had the Big Bang, and you had something started, and it evolved into what we are today, right? Law in the United States, you had the Constitution, and it's evolved since then from the Constitution, right? So part of the process of law is evolution. People on the defense, they go after things that are loopholes in the law.
Right.
And then legislators try to close these loopholes, and the law evolves, right? And it's evolved for 200 years. Evolution and the evidence for the last 150 years, it's never been refuted.
Right.
Stuff that Darwin said 150 years ago is now being proven, John.
Yeah.
By genetics and DNA that he had no fucking idea of. And it's still proving that evolution is correct.
Right.
It's not being falsified.
It's not falsifying, exactly.
So here's the analogy, John. It's like if from an evolutionary perspective, creationists saying evolution is fucked, here's the way it is like if somebody walked into a court of law and said, forget all the laws that have been set here. They're all wrong. I'm going to present my perception of law, and we're going to have a court trial based on that. How long do you think that would last in a fucking courtroom? 2 seconds before a contempt charge? And they'd throw the fucking insane motherfucker out of the court. And that's the same shit
so
that happens to Ben Stein. Evolution for 150 years has never been falsified. It's only been modified and extended. It's a brilliant idea. And this fucking Ben Stein, it's like him walking into a courtroom and saying, hey, forget the laws that you've set up. I'm smarter than you.
Right.
And here's the laws that we should rule on. The guy would be tossed on his ass. Or worse, he'd be fucking imprisoned for that kind of shit. But here, in this country, He's free to speak as stupidly as he wants. But when you lose your job,
which is great,
when you lose your job because of it, finally, you would think he would acknowledge that. But no, he's going to blame people. He's going to blame more people. And it goes back to the belief system.
Yeah,
I'm not a critical thinker. I'm just going to blame other people for my misfortune because I'm fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Is all get out. And I still don't get it. Asswipe.
I got another clip of from Jon Stewart of the shoutdowns that have been going on. And exactly what you're saying about the belief system. He plays some clips of people in the media talking about, you know, what's going on. Why are these people not being heard? They have a voice. They're being cut off. They're trying to shout their opinion, and it's not fair. That's their right to speak freely. And then he does the little dream sequence where he goes back in time and listens to those same people talk about, for instance, the war protesters and what Hannity and the like, the ones who have this belief system, think that how it ought to be.
Organizers of the town halls have begun to complain about the protesters' behavior, going so far as to only hold the meetings by phone or appeal to their supporters for backup. Or, to put it another way,
they don't want the American people out speaking, exercising their First Amendment rights.
Yeah. When the left does this, it's celebrated as the best of democracy, community organizing. When conservative free market activists show up, they're called mobs.
I mean, all we're doing is enraging people with misleading information and then having them show up at meetings with the intent of shouting down the speakers and physically intimidating them. If that's what you call a mob, well, then I guess... Jesus, America. These people have a right to speak as loudly and as vitriolically as they want, and that's a belief conservative commentators have always held for as long as I can remember.
You notice how angry the left is today? I mean, the vitriol that comes out of them.
I think they get their marching orders from the left-wing blogosphere.
They make such total fools of themselves and embarrass themselves and make the anti-war movement look more anti-American by the day.
The far left in this country, the zealots, I mean, these are zealots, are Nazis. And this is exactly what the Nazis did. They disrupted rallies. They came in to shout people down. They intimidated. They smeared. They did all of this.
Exactly. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But with
I
the
want
interwebs,
my America back.
The real question is, Gutenberg had the printing press, and that's what got the Catholic Church in trouble at the time, because people were able to read the Bible and interpret it for themselves.
Yeah.
And information was distributed through books. And now with the interwebs, can you stop the distribution of information? And you can't. You really can't. I mean, the networks can do what they can to promote their propaganda. But if you want to know the real shit, you can find it on the interwebs. But again, the question is, would you look in the right places?
Right.
Are you only going to look to the places that support your ideas? Or are you going to look at places that challenge your ideas and then come up with your own opinion? Right now, I think it's the majority is they're going to search out their own ideas. But will that change? And thank God for the internet, Star John.
Yeah.
I love it. Gives us something to do, you know, every Sunday when I'm not on hiatus.
What the fuck? I had this... there's this one great Glenn Beck one that he just recently did, and this is what I was talking about earlier about he's talking about his daughter with cerebral palsy, and then he's going off on about shit about Hitler and about Nazis
and Darwinism.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find it here, Scott.
All right, while you're looking for
Scatters.
That, let me just cover movies that I've seen. I've seen a ton of movies since hiatus, John, but only four of them worth mentioning. One of them, my father-in-law recommended to me. I've known my father-in-law for 12 years. He's never recommended a movie. right? So when he recommends a movie...
Who recommended one?
I go see it. My father-in-law. He recommended 7 Pounds with Will Smith and Rosario Dawson. Have you seen this movie yet, John?
No.
I'm going to recommend it to you. I think you should see it. I'm watching this movie, and I don't know if I had heard about this movie before, but I kind of figure out the plot early on. And so I'm watching it. But the one thing that really... I mean, Will Smith is really a watchable actor.
Yeah.
Like Tom Cruise, his insanity, disregard his insanity. The guy is really watchable on film.
Right.
And I can't quantify that. I don't. And maybe people have different opinions, but to me...
He's a good actor.
You put Tom Cruise on there, you put Will Smith on there. If anybody else was in that role, I don't think the movie would have done well at all. But because of Will Smith, for some reason, I'm so interested in watching him on film. But I got to tell you, he's the producer. He's one of the producers of this movie.
Yeah.
But how did they sell it to him? And I came up with a great drinking game. If you're going to watch 7 Pounds, right?
Yeah.
Rent this DVD. Have a bunch of people over. You watch it. Every time that Will Smith looks like he wants to take a shit or he is shitting in his pants, take a drink, you will be obliterated.
Why is he shitting in his pants in the movie?
He has this one look. He's a tortured man. I don't want to give away too much of the detail. But he's experienced something that is very unique and is very torturous. And the look on his face every time he considers this thing that he was involved in, it looks like he wants to take a shit. I don't know if that was the director that said, oh yeah, that's a good look. Use that look every time you feel tortured. But if you drink, every time it looks like he's taking a shit, you will be obliterated in the first hour.
Excellent.
That's my only criticism. Other than that, I thought the movie was very well done. Rosario Dawson's in it. It's what, you know, John, you like the movies that put the dollars on the screen. The big explosions, the action. I like those too, but I lean more towards the movie that make me think. I want to think.
Right.
And this movie really made me think. And the other thing about this movie, 7 Pounds... is before, you know, my daughter's going to get her learner's permit and that shit. And when she gets her license, before she drives by herself with her license, I'm going to make her watch this movie. And we're going to talk about
it. Oh, boy.
7 Pounds, Will Smith.
That's scary, man.
The other movie I saw was Doubt. Doubt. It's really a 3-person movie.
Doubt.
Really well done. Amy Adams, Meryl Streep. And who's the guy? He's a character actor. He was the villain in the Mission Impossible 3. What the hell is his name? He's a great fucking actor. Mission Impossible 3, the villain.
Damn it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
He's a priest. Meryl Streep is a nun. And it takes place in the 50s.
Yeah, it's... shit, yeah, he was in...
He was in a
I keep saying John C. Reilly, but that's not it.
No, that's not it. That's not it. Yeah, I'm embarrassed. We don't know his name. He's one of the greatest actors, character actors, and we don't even know his name. That's why he's so good, John.
Yeah,
he's so good. He could just Doubt. It's like a 90-minute movie. Meryl Streep's performance in Doubt is. Only second to Angela Lansbury in the original Manchurian Candidate. It's fucking fantastic. So
wow.
I recommend
Philip
that.
Seymour Hoffman.
There you go, Philip Seymour Hoffman. Paul. Philip. Yeah. They both start with P. I also saw Body of Lies with Russell Crowe and Leonardo DiCaprio. Have you seen that one?
No.
I recommend that one.
All right.
That's a good one.
All right.
And the last movie I want to discuss, John, is Milk with Sean Penn.
Yeah.
And the only thing I might want to say a couple other things, but the one most important thing I want to say about this movie, Sean Penn is the greatest actor that has ever fucking lived when you see this movie. You're either going to say that, or you're going to say, there's something Sean Penn's not telling us about his sexuality after you watch this movie. Because he is so goddamn convincing as Harvey Milk, the first openly gay politician ever elected. And the ending...
Which is your perception of gay?
It is my... Yeah, that is true. Yeah. That is my perception of gay. But
a gay person
ending,
might go, he's not gay at all. He's dumb.
So what are you saying, John? Have you seen the movie?
No,
and you
haven't. I haven't.
You want to tell me I'm wrong?
I haven't.
Because
I can't tell you you're wrong.
You have more experience than I do in that area?
Maybe you do. I don't know. That you're so convinced that he's the greatest actor in the world or he's
see
gay.
See this movie and then tell me if I'm wrong or not.
He's so gay that he must be gay. Or
either
he's
gay or he's
actor.
The greatest actor ever. That's what I'm saying. And then when at the end of the movie... You're going to be so goddamn disgusted.
Here's a great actor. If you can, as a man, act like a dog to the point where I believe
you're a
dog.
Right.
Then
that's what
you're
I'm
a good
saying.
Actor.
Yes.
Not if you're...
No. You're not a good actor. You're the best actor that has ever been filmed.
Not if you're a stereotypical flaming homosexual.
Well, that's what I want to know. He's a method actor, right? What did he do to study? I want to know.
I don't know.
I mean, you watch this movie, right?
I've seen a little bit of it.
You got to see the whole movie.
Oh, my God.
Watch
it's so
it.
Golly
watch it with your brother-in-law and have him give you that perspective. And I'm telling you, for me, I couldn't believe it. And I think he won the Academy. I'm not sure, but I think he won. But at the end of
you
this
don't
movie,
go full retard.
But at the end of this movie,
did Sean Penn go full
you,
retard? No.
I was so goddamn
did he go full
disgusted.
Gay? He didn't go full gay.
I was so disgusted. One of these guys that Harvey Milk served with,
yeah,
was one of these fundamentalist Christian motherfuckers played by Josh Brolin.
Yeah,
and when you find out what happens to this fucker at the end. It comes up in text, you know, at the very end.
Yeah.
And you're like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And then the very next text, you're like, okay, good. I'm glad
good.
That fucking happened. But the first text they show, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And
well, I'll tell you one thing. The Harvey Milk had some major cojones, man.
Well, and the other thing is, I don't think the movie depicted...
His braveness.
Honestly, not his braveness, but I think he was one of these homosexuals that shoved his homosexuality in everybody's face at every opportunity that he had. That's because the way they portray him in the movie, he's looking out for the people, he's doing it for the people, but the boyfriends that he selects, which they talked about, you gotta know that this guy was one of these... In your face, homosexuals.
Well, I told you I went to the opening ceremonies for the gay games at Soldier Field, right?
Yes.
Which I thought was really cool. It was actually a great experience. And but the one thing is, before I went to it, or maybe it was after I went to it, I was discussing it with my brother-in-law and his partner. And I said, you know... It's part of the problem with the gay games and the trouble that everybody's having is that you call it the gay games and it seems very separatist. And my brother-in-law's partner said, yeah, you know, maybe we should have more straight people on the committee, you know? And I'm like, again, see... How are you going to prove they're straight? Are you going to ask them their sexual orientation? That should not even be a factor. Unfortunately, yeah, you're right. It sucks.
That should be on the form that you fill out to enter.
Are you gay or
and
straight?
And then you sign it, yeah.
If you're straight, we're an equal opportunity employer. Right. We don't discriminate. But, I mean, you know, it's just one of those things that it became kind of separatist. And... When I was watching the ceremonies, there was a lot of soapboxing going on, like George Takei came up and he spoke and he went on and on about the internment camps
in Japan
and equating being gay to the internment camps. You know, and then some other chick was on this podium and she was going off and free versing and stuff. And there was this lesbian couple next to me that yelled and said, "On with the show already! You're preaching to the choir!" Because like 90% of the people there were gay. Well, so it was like, what are you saying?
Well, the other thing about this
movie, we're here to see the party!
Is it takes place in the 70s. And the 70s, that's not too long ago. And Anita Bryant is prominent in the movie. And the civil rights violation that occurred in the 70s is freaking unbelievable to me. And I don't want to, you know, you talked about correlations. I don't want to correlate it to atheists because it's nowhere near as bad as if you were a homosexual at the time in the
70s. Right.
But there are some similarities with atheists today. And what we need to do, and what Harvey Milk did, was he organized those darn homosexuals. And he had a power of platform because he organized them and he had the votes and he was able to make change.
Right.
So, you know, it's something in the atheist community that's been talked about for a long time. We need to organize atheists. But atheists don't join groups. They're just not wired that way.
Right.
They're skeptical, they're critical thinkers, and they're not gonna join the bandwagon like people wired differently, like religious people.
Exactly.
Right on,
exactly,
John.
Exactly, Scott.
Stop it.
You brute, you smell like fish. Exactly.
So that was the last movie.
Exactly.
That I wanted. I saw a lot of movies. Those are the four worth mentioning, John. Worth mentioning. All those movies I give thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
And I'm looking back at them and I say, Milk. You need to see Milk first. Then you need to see 7 Pounds. Then Doubt. Then Body of Lies. In that order.
All right. I'll check it out.
There you have it.
I found the Glenn Beck video. Mm-hmm. The audio. You can hear the audio. Let me play a little bit of it.
Yes.
All right.
Let's listen.
As well as millions,
I got to get the volume.
Innocent people.
America, there is so much anger and hatred in this country right now.
Towards you.
And it is important that we have an honest conversation here and understand clearly what is being said on this program. No one is saying that eugenics are coming. The builder of the master race was only part of the problem in Germany, made possible after they began to devalue life. They tried.
Oh, before we continue on, the first 40 seconds of his show was him going on about eugenics and showing the Third Reich doing the goose step and showing all this video and everything. And now he's saying, but we're not suggesting that this is going to happen.
We're not suggesting that, but we just bombarded you with visuals.
With visuals. And now he's going to talk about exactly what happened.
To figure out how much is a life worth and put a price on how much each individual was worth. And some were worth more than others.
Here we go.
I want to show you a poster.
Nice dramatic pause,
that
you cocksucker.
I saw this morning getting ready for the show, and I want you to know
I'm gonna cry.
That I have a daughter that
cry?
Was born.
He's going to cry.
With cerebral palsy, and they said that when she was born that she would never walk or talk or feed herself. She went to college. They were wrong. This poster bothers me so much because the hand of the person shown in this poster reminds me of my
get on with
my
it.
Daughter's hand. This is from Nazi Germany. It says in German, if you can get a tight shot here, it says in German, basically, it's going to cost 60,000 marks to keep this man alive. As you see, he's sitting here with a gnarled hand. He's a sweet guy and everything, poster says, but his quality of life, it's a shame. But your time is up. Then there is this poster. This is also from Germany in World War II. This one shows an institution here and all of the houses that could be built with the money if we could just eliminate this institution.
What does that have to do with anything? Is he giving us a history lesson?
Well, no, he's that is his spin on the healthcare issue.
Oh, I see. So
yeah.
The healthcare
is going to decide.
Hitler's in charge of healthcare.
Here
the spirit
States,
of Hitler.
The spirit of Hitler
is
exactly.
in charge of healthcare in the United States.
So his cerebral palsy daughter, and I have a sister who has cerebral palsy.
One of our good friends, TP.
Yes.
Has cerebral palsy.
Is not going to get the appropriate care, and he's equating it to eugenics in Nazi Germany. Why give us that history lesson? What are you trying to tell us? What? What is the point, you fucking wacko?
He's that guy's insane.
You're not as mad as me. Get madder. I'm not going to pick up a gun because I'm a coward. But if you want to, go right ahead.
Well, he wasn't mad. He was sad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Because I love this country.
Why would he be crying about his daughter who exceeded all expectations and went to college?
Well, maybe he was happy.
Maybe he's crying out of happiness?
Yeah. Like, there was a story. My I got together with my family, my mother, my stepfather, and my sister. And my sister is in the Special Olympics. And I see her, and she's like got a freaking her arm in a cast, and her face is cut, and her knees all cut up, and I'm like, what the hell? What do they do in the Special Olympics now? Are they doing mixed martial arts, cage match? What the fuck is that? I said, what happened to her? To my mom, and my mom said she was running in a race. And she wiped out, I mean, fierce, face first, broke her hand, her face, skinned her knee, and she got back up, and she ran and finished the race. And I think she got third place or something.
Whoa.
And every day I hear shit like that, I'm like, oh, my God, she is fucking awesome. I mean, she is just driven. She just keeps going, keeps doing whatever. It is. She lives. She loves it. She's having the time of her life. And she's inspirational to me, you know. And this cocksucker, to make this comparison, I say, fuck you, Glenn Beck. How dare you? How dare you drag your daughter into this, you piece of shit?
Well, and when you watch the video, it just seems so fucking phony. And who knows? I mean, this guy is... there's something wrong with him. There is definitely something wrong with him. Who knows what it is?
Obama has a deep-seated hate for white people.
Yeah, his mother.
I'm not saying that he doesn't like white people.
But he's a racist.
But he's a racist, and he has a deep-seated hate for white people. I'm just saying he doesn't... I'm not saying he doesn't like them. Yeah.
It's unbelievable, John.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. All right, well, that's all I have, John.
It's all I got, except for I saw some movies too.
What else did you see?
I saw G.I. Joe.
Yeah, G.I. Joe. And Transformers.
Terminator. Yeah, Transformers. Terminator.
You talked about
Salvation,
Terminator. That was on 175, my man.
G-Force.
I saw G-Force. Yeah. My daughter will see it because we have a guinea pig in the other room. Yeah. But I don't want to see it again.
Well,
Transformers, G.I. Joe, which one is better? I haven't seen either, and if I had to spend money, which one would you recommend that I go see?
You know, I liked Transformers. I saw it twice, and G.I. Joe was pretty good, too. G.I. Joe had some really neat stuff in it. I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to say because Transformers, I thought, was really fucking funny.
And it had Megan Fox.
Yeah. You know, Transformers doesn't really have a real hot chick in it. So.
No. G.I.
Joe. G.I.
Joe. The one thing that we forgot to mention we both showed up at MovieCo at the same time.
Yeah.
You brought your son. I brought my daughter. And we're in line for popcorn. And you guys stroll up. And I said, hey, man, what are you here to see? And you're like, Transformers, man. What are you here to see? And I had to say, I'm with my daughter. So I had to say, the proposal.
You had to say it.
And you're like, what? Man, what? The proposal with Ryan Reynolds? You're faggot.
I didn't say that in a theater.
What did
I'm
you
45.
Say?
I'm going, what a faggot.
Yeah. No. What did you say? I'm oh, like, that explains a lot.
Yeah.
Something like
where's
that.
Your skirt. I did go see The Proposal myself.
Wasn't it great?
Dude, Ryan Reynolds is
Ryan Reynolds
so goddamn
is so
funny.
Fucking funny, man.
I must have laughed the whole movie after he said, congratulations, I'm 100 years old. When she was coming down the stairs, man, the ladder, oh my God.
Oh, yeah, that was a good movie. Good. You know, so I saw it with my daughter, and then she really liked it. And we both came to the conclusion that, have you seen 17 again?
No.
Zac Efron? They got the guy from Friends playing the old Zac Efron.
Me, yeah.
Yeah, it's totally fucked up. Even my daughter was like, she was the one who suggested Ryan Reynolds should have been Zac Efron as an adult. And that movie would have been, I love that movie, 17 again.
I thought one of the great parts, too, in the movie was when the fucking grandma faked her own heart attack.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you're talking about The Proposal.
Yeah, Proposal, yeah,
yes,
sorry.
Yes, The Proposal. What the hell was I saying now? And she loved it, and I said, well, before you go to camp, why don't you ask Mom if she wants to go see it with you? So they saw it. And my wife loved it. She's like, we have to pre-order that movie.
The Proposal?
So, yes. Yeah, so when it comes out on DVD.
It was very funny.
Yeah, it was good. with Sandra Bullock.
Oh, I got to mention something. I have not sent any messages or talked to Mark Chiarello from DC. So I don't know what's going on. I got to get the lowdown, but I did not go to Wizard World, the Chicago Comic Con this year. I did talk to somebody who was there while they were there, and they said that DC and Marvel and Dark Horse, all the big comic book companies did not have any booths.
Participate.
What was there was like B-rated actors and wrestlers.
Well, what's the scoop, man? What's going on?
I don't
on?
Know, but I did read that next year in April, C2E2 is coming to McCormick Place. C2E2 is the... I don't know what it is. It's like a new
it's
Chicago.
Coming,
it's a new Chicago Comic Con. C2E2 is the comics convention and entertainment expo. I think it is. And DC will be there. Marvel will be there. There's a cast of characters. They want to integrate Chicago into the whole comic thing and.
Well, maybe that's it, just a transition among promoters.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, when I first started going to the comic book conventions back in the early 90s, they were really cool. The Chicago Comic Con was really cool, and I think it was like at the Ramada Hotel, and then they finally brought it over to the what is that called? The something Donald E. Stevenson.
In Rosemont there, John.
And then Wizard bought it. And they had a couple of good years, and then it's just been going downhill ever since. So I want to find out what the fuck's going on and how and why they're jumping ship. And then there's another one coming up in September called Windy City Comic Convention that's supposed to be pretty good, which is down on Harlem somewhere.
Nice.
So I might, I'm definitely going to do the one next year in April. At McCormick. Might even get a hotel. Me and the son probably go down there, check it out.
Let me know, man. I can maybe, I don't know if my daughter would be interested. Maybe not.
Well, but, I'll tell you, it'll be way better than last year.
A when boys' night out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Boys' night out.
I mean, and I'm willing to bet because of how close it is to some of the nicer Chicago, you know, downtown scene. that we're going to see a lot more freaky dressed up people. And I do wish I was in Arizona, and I wish I checked it out and went to the Comic-Con in California, because I saw some pictures and it looked like it was a fucking blast.
A blast.
And they showed the about 20 minutes or 25 minutes of the new James Cameron 3D Avatar.
Avatar.
Yeah. This is, I don't know if you've heard about this movie.
I haven't even heard it.
You haven't heard about this movie?
No, you're telling me right now. I'm just hearing about it.
James Cameron started working on a project like 5-6 years ago. Battle Angel, I think, was one of them. He called it Project 880. It was going to be Battle Angel, or it was going to be this Avatar project. The Avatar project is basically, the synopsis is, there's a Marine, and he's like paralyzed, and he has an opportunity to get back into the shit, man. And
the shit, like Robocop.
Because, yeah, they create these machines. They're like big, giant mech warriors, robots. And they go and they're seeking this resource. They're looking for resources, and this resource is unobtainium. And it's, yeah, and it's on this planet.
Seems like you wouldn't be able to get that.
It's on this planet.
Unobtainium.
It's on this planet, Pandora. And there's creatures on this planet, and they're like 10 feet tall, and they're blue, and they're very docile, but they have a history of their
violence.
They're great warriors, and their beautiful planet, which is a paradise, is being overtaken by these warrior mech machines to get this unobtainium, and they fight back. And the people that have seen it, Cameron is using some new stereoscopic 3D filming devices that mimic human sight. And the people that have seen it have said that it was so real looking. And the animation, it's all animated, by the way. It's so real looking. It's all CGI. That they wished there was a place like this Pandora, because it's just so breathtaking.
So it was like HBs then. That's what you're saying.
Heavenly bodies?
Yeah.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Breathtaking.
So the movie's called Avatar?
Avatar. James Cameron's Avatar. Not to be confused with Avatar, The Last Airbender by M. Night Shyamalan.
That guy's still making movies?
Yeah.
What about District 9?
District 9. Another. Well, actually, Peter Jackson was on the panel at the Comic-Con in California with James Cameron, talking about the new ways of filmmaking, the future of filmmaking. And Peter Jackson he's producing that movie, District 9. And there's a lot of handheld camera work, like it's shot from like camera phones and...
Like Cloverfield.
Like Cloverfield. And that looks like a pretty cool movie. And that's coming out a couple of weeks, isn't it?
I think so.
Avatar's coming out December 18th, and there's an exclusive sneak preview of a trailer that's coming out the 21st of this month, and it's going to be at IMAX in 3D. I talked to Lynn about it, who is the GM over at the Navy Pier IMAX.
Nice.
And,
so we'll get in.
She said that she's been talking to people, and the movie was like slated for like 4 hours long.
4 hours?
Yeah, they're cutting it back pretty good. What other movie news? Oh, Tron Legacy is coming out next year.
No interest whatsoever.
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
None.
You freak.
What's
freak zone.
None whatsoever.
I can't wait. No. I can't wait. Kevin Flynn comes back. Jeff Bridges reprising his role as Kevin Flynn.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeff Bridges? I thought Kurt Russell was in Tron.
No. Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges.
The original Tron wasn't that great, but the new Tron.
The dude?
Legacy.
Jeff Bridges? The dude?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no interest in that whatsoever.
Yeah, well, I do.
None.
I do, and I'm sure some of our listeners
will. None. Too.
I don't care about you, you fucking milk watcher.
All right, John, before we wrap up, check out the blog at TotalTalkNonsense.com/WP. Check out the new...
TotalTalkNonsense.com /...
Check it out. Did I not mention the com? Kangaroo Court's got a new website.
Yeah.
And get this, John. Get this. Oh, so I'm a student at DePaul in an adult learning program. I have an opportunity to take class in Ireland.
Yeah.
September 17th through the 27th. That's in Clifton, in the southern part of Ireland. I already bought my plane tickets, and then I found out something today that I may not be able to go. But by Friday, I'll know if I'm going or not. If I am going to Clifton, I'm going to miss 2 podcasts in September. I'll be gone for 2 Sundays.
Whatever. What else is new?
I know
you want to quit. You might as well just say it.
If I wanted to quit, why would I call you and say, dude, man, come to my secret lair and let's do an ad hoc.
Lair. I like how you call it a layer.
A layer.
My secret lair.
Right on. A layer. So I should know by Friday. This is a Wednesday if you're listening and the listening audience. If I'm going to Ireland or not. If I am going, anybody in the UK, if you want to pop over to Clifton between September 17th and 29th, or if we have any Irish listeners, please send me an email.
When are you going to tell them?
And I'll hook up with you if I'm going. I think I'm going to go. You know, I worked out some stuff. There's some tuition reimbursement ambiguity in the SOPs for my work. I'm going to try to get those sorted out tomorrow and then make the decision. But that's something I'm looking forward to. There are 15 students.
How old are they?
They filled 12 seats, John.
How old are the students?
They're all adults. Adult learning, John. I'm in the adult learning program.
Adults from 21 to 97.
Adults with experience. So I would say a minimum age of like 30.
Great. That's who I want to go to Ireland with.
Yeah.
Let's party, Grandma.
They had like 12 seats, and then they had 3 available, so they sent out this mass email, and I had to go through this interview process and the whole deal. It was a long shot, but of course, my perfect grade point average and my charm over the phone, I was selected to go. But I don't know if I'll be able to go or not.
Why? Why wouldn't you be able to go?
Well, if my work's not going to cover the, or they refer to them as.
You'd have to pay. You'd have to pay it.
Yeah, I'd have to pay it. I'm not going to do that. Forget that.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hold on, man. I got to read something first. So part of the process, I had to go to two of my faculty members and get recommendations, right?
Yeah.
One of the guys submitted a recommendation. I would like to read from that, if I may, if I can find it.
Here we go. Why don't you stroke yourself some more? Should I get your slippers? What do you need? Should I get you a pipe and slippers?
No. Hold on.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I just want to read this paragraph here, all right?
All right, let me move my mic over. So this is a recommendation I got. Get this shit. I can confidently say that Scott is among the top 2% of the students I have seen in my class. Intellectually, he was among the brightest students who have taken I'm having a hard time. I'm far away from the monitor. And his skill was evidenced in his writing as well as questions raised in class discussions. He pushed my own intellectual skills to their limits, often asking questions I could not personally answer and could only suggest further independent reading on his part.
Fuck you!
Which he did. He often reported back his findings to the benefit of the entire class's learning. He is a model lifelong learner.
Fuck you!
Lifelong
Fuck
learner.
Fuck you!
All right.
Fuck you!
if you can believe this, I have a problem with what my instructor said.
Yeah?
Yes. Because he said, I am in the top 2%.
Yeah.
Why not 1%? Why aren't I in the top 1%? So I will be discussing that.
Because there must be another one.
If there is another one, I would assume he's had over 200 students. So there has to be two other ones. There has to be four other ones.
Why?
That he's putting in front of me. Well, I'm assuming he's
top
been there.
Top 2% could be 100.
Top 2% yeah. could be 100. Yeah, so I'm number
you
two.
You could be the first one or the second. You're in the top 2%.
In the
2%.
Top 2%. Well, why wouldn't you just say 1%? I should be in the top
1%. Or maybe there are 400. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe there are 400. And it's between me and some other guy or girl.
Does it really matter?
It matters to me. Okay.
Glenn. Glenn Beck. Scott Beck.
But it was because of his recommendation. That was the tipping point, I think, that they selected me for this trip. And then I may not even be able to go. Wouldn't that suck?
Of Kooky Town.
Yeah. You're at Kooky Town.
Yeah. Kooky Town.
I don't need anything.
Right on, John. Kooky Town.
I was born in America.
All right. Any other announcements? We have a gig this weekend. We're playing at a private party. The following weekend, we're at a private party. Oh, one other thing. We've been booked for the Saturday after Thanksgiving at the Beacon Tap.
Right.
So Thanksgiving, if you'd like to come to Chicago, we will be playing at the Beacon Tap on Saturday night.
Right.
In a suburb of Chicago.
Right. I am so jealous at how well your mic sounds compared to this.
Really?
Piece of dog shit you gave me.
I can't tell the difference. And
you,
I think
you
that's
gotta
because
be fucking deaf as a, as
I
a
am.
Dog shit.
I'm deaf as dog shit. That's why you're the producer.
Unbelievable.
You know what I'm saying?
How can you not
that's
tell
why
the
you're
difference?
The producer.
The timber is different.
The timber.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the yeah, what's with your mic? Listen. Shh.
Oh, was that my mic?
Yeah.
Doing that?
Yeah.
Out of sight.
It's all the spit you spew on. So this fucking
I do spit a lot, don't I?
All right, that's all for this
ad hoc. John, ad hoc. And we'll be back what is
someday.
It August
yeah
12th
blame
right?
Scott not me because I
August
start my
12th.
Hiatus in 12th, fall 3. In the fall so then we do my hiatus. I don't go on a forced hiatus. Oh, we do a hiatus, man. Remember? So we'll always do it every year.
We'll be going
hey,
on a hiatus
I
in the
not
fall.
Your partner.
Possibly an ad hoc sometime in the fall. And when is your hiatus over, John? Mine's over in August.
Mine's over. It is? You told me you're going to Ireland.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know if I'm going or not.
Each other's dicks quite
and even if I do go, from what I understand, there's a internet's connection where I'll be in Clifton, and I can bring some sort of a USB headset.
Yeah,
you know
that,
what I'm saying?
That won't happen.
Why not?
Because you couldn't fucking operate it.
How could I not? How hard is that?
How hard is it when we do Skype? A whole lot of second. And a lot of
that's because of issues on your end, not my
no,
end.
No, it's not on
okay.
my end. It's like, can you
I
hear me now?
I am not a fan of Skype. I tell you that right now. I am not a fan of Skype.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe I can go to the Punky Bunker and broadcast from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on a different island.
All right. That's all we have for this week. I'll be starting my hiatus in September.
September, so what are we
January.
Looking at? January. January, so after the Christmas holidays.
Yeah.
We should be back online.
Yeah.
Until
you'll probably
June.
Have to take another hiatus.
Until June, then I'll be taking my summer hiatus.
Yeah,
yes.
Your summer hiatus. What the hell is that?
One other thing.
You don't even do anything on Sunday night.
Vomitous
what are you
doing?
Prime. Nothing. I'm watching movies.
Vomitous Prime tried to put together a Midwest podcast conference. I don't know if you know that, John. I think we talked about it on one of our shows. Because of lack of interest, that has been canceled. I don't know how they defined lack of interest, but whatever their criteria was, it didn't meet expectations, so they have canceled the Midwest pod conference that was, I think, going to take place in Milwaukee.
Yeah, John. Milwaukee.
it would give us a good reason to road trip. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
No doubt, John.
All aboard, Scott.
All
on
aboard.
The crazy train.
Right on.
I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we're out of here, man.
Ad hoc.
Ad hoc. What's the number?
There's no number with ad hocs, man.
Well, how are you going to do it then?
This is called ad hoc summer hiatus.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, you're such a loser.
Aren't I?
I got to go on the summer hiatus.
What does that mean?
It means I need to take a break
refocus. We always take a summer hiatus, remember?
Yeah, no. Remember? We did last year.
Yeah, I was forced to take it. I had no choice. It wasn't we.
Oh,
I
see.
It was you.
You have a problem with we.
Yeah, don't say we.
With we. All right, so
you
I will refer to it as I.
I couldn't do it anymore.
I am taking a summer hiatus. It's almost over. And then you will be taking a hiatus.
Yeah, my fall hiatus.
And in that sense, I can say we and our hiatuses will conclude.
Yeah.
Sometime in December.
Yeah, sometime.
Yes.
All right. We're out of here.
No doubt. Let's go.
You don't shut up for a second, all right? A Total Talk Nonsense.